We're in verse 13. Some have called Easter week the week that changed the world. I do know it's the most significant event in human history. Amen. And there's so many different places, Old and New Testament, that you can read about the resurrection. I encourage you to do that. But we're reading in Luke chapter 24 and verse 13. And behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 70 furlongs, which is about 7 miles. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden that they should not know him. And he said unto them, what manner of communications are these that ye have one to another as ye walk and are sad? And one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering, said unto him, art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? And he said unto them, what things? And they said unto him, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre. When they found not his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it even so as the women had said, but him they saw not. Then he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart, to believe all that the prophets have spoken, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And they drew nigh unto the village whither they went, and he made as though he would have gone further. But they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. It came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it, and brake and gave to them. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, while he opened to us the scriptures? And they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 together and them that were with them, saying, the Lord is risen indeed and hath appeared to Simon. And they told what things were done in the way and how he was known of them in the breaking of bread. This is a wonderful account of a visit that these two disciples had from the resurrected Jesus. There were a number of appearances of Jesus after his resurrection, at least 12 appearances of our Lord after his resurrection. We know that it says in the book of Acts that he showed himself alive by many infallible proofs, even revealing himself to 500 witnesses at one time. Now, there have always been deniers. There have always been the skeptics who do not believe. The Apostle Paul said, you know, that if they don't believe, if Christ didn't raise from the dead, then our faith is vain. Our preaching is vain. We die in our sins. We don't have any hope. Now, that's no way to live. What a terrible thing it is to live your life thinking that when you come to the end of your life, that that's it, it's over. But we know, because we believe the biblical account of the bodily resurrection of Jesus, that that's not the end. And actually, it's just the beginning for all of us that have put our trust in the Lord. There have always been those who have denied the resurrection. Thomas Jefferson, third president of the United States, who was literally a genius, they say. But yet even in his brilliance, he denied the miracles of the Lord. He believed in the teachings of Jesus. He actually wrote his own version of the New Testament. His own version of the New Testament, called The Life and Morals of Jesus Christ. And he wrote everything except he excluded all the miracles of Jesus. He excluded the resurrection of Jesus. He didn't believe all the miraculous. I mean, he took all the things out that reveal the power of Jesus Christ to us. That was Thomas Jefferson's New Testament. In his New Testament, Jesus was crucified. Jesus was placed in a tomb. A stone was rolled in front of the tomb. And that's the end of it, as far as Thomas Jefferson is concerned. There have always been those that are skeptics, that don't believe, that are deniers of the resurrected Lord. And then, of course, we also have in our day and time, not only skeptics, but we have people that have really just turned Easter into a commercial holiday. It's just about a lot of things. $21 billion will be spent, they estimate, in a time when the economy is kind of struggling. $21 billion are going to be spent on Easter-related items. And I see some of those things today. I see some new neckties and a few new dresses and a few new, nothing wrong with a few new things. That's all right. I got a new tie. And now that Lacey and Casey, who every week say to me, "We like your tie, we like your tie." Now it's a new one. And it's not an old one. Nothing wrong with new things. But the problem is a world, a society that just makes it a commercial thing, just like it's just another holiday. The average Easter basket filled with eggs and the candy and all the things, the average Easter basket today costs $49. Now, if you got a bunch of kids, you're broke this weekend. Sorry. We commercialize. We make it a secular holiday, but it's so much more than that. It is, as we've already mentioned, it is the week that changed the world. It is the event that changed the world. It's the event that changes your life and sets your life on a whole new course when you put your faith and your trust in the Lord Jesus. Praise God. Praise the name of the Lord. We do believe in the biblical account, the bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ. We believe what Peter preached in Acts chapter 2 when he preached and he said that it was by the determinate counsel of God. It was by the foreknowledge of God, meaning it was all of God. It was all God's plan and his purpose for him to be crucified, for him to be slain, for him to be placed in a tomb and to be raised from the dead. It was all a part of God's plan. I love verse 24, Acts chapter 2, that says, "Whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it." Praise God. What a wonderful truth that is not possible. It was not possible for him to be held by the grave and by death. But this is an account that we read in this gospel of Luke chapter 24 of two disciples who are sad. They're on the road to Emmaus. Now, it's the road likely to their home village. More than likely, they are on their way home. They have spent months, maybe even years, traveling with Jesus, witnessing his miracles, hearing his teachings, and all of their heart and all of their hopes are upon the fact that they believe this is truly the Messiah And all of their confidence was in that hope. But today, it's a different kind of a road. It's a road of sadness, a road of sorrow. It's a road of grief. It's a road of disappointment and hopelessness that they're traveling on. And it may be that some of you today are traveling on that similar kind of a road. You're on a road today and your heart is heavy and you are disappointed, or your situation might seem hopeless. You might be in a position of despair and sadness, maybe grief. I don't know what you might be up against today or what road that you're on, but I want you to know that this was a 7-mile journey and their hearts are broken and they are sad by the circumstance that they are in. But the wonderful thing about this account, and I believe we have this account in the Gospel of Luke, because it reminds us that with all the appearances of the resurrected Jesus, that he did not forget the person that was down and broken and hopeless and in despair. No, the resurrected Lord appeared to these two disciples that were at their lowest point. And even you and I, at our lowest points, in our lowest time in our life, we can be assured of the fact that God has not forsaken us, and the resurrected Jesus is a Jesus that comes to us in our desperate time, in our desperate hour, in our hopeless circumstance that we are in. Praise the Lord for that. You see, because all that was in their minds, all that they had witnessed was just a Jesus that was being crucified. They witnessed it. They saw his flogging. They saw his trial. They witnessed all the things that he went through, the crucifixion. They witnessed his body being taken down off of the cross and carried to the tomb of Joseph of Arimathea. They saw it all. They witnessed it. And they believed that that was the end of it all. They thought, this is it. All of our hopes, all of our expectations, all that we had believed for, it's now all come to an end. And now they are on their way back home. It's over. All of our hopes. It's all gone. No hope for our future. But it's in that kind of a circumstance that Jesus comes alongside these disciples. One of them is named Cleopas. The other one is unnamed. It might have been Luke. Some believe it was Luke. Some even believe it might have been Cleopas's wife. We don't really know who it was. We just know that there were two followers of Jesus, and that they are brokenhearted and they are disappointed and they are going home, and it's a statement of it's over. There's nothing else that can be done. It's completely over. But could I just remind you today on this Resurrection Sunday that even if you're at your lowest point, Jesus will come alongside you. And Jesus is pursuing you. He's coming after you. And he's able to help you at your lowest circumstance that you're in. I love the little quote from Corrie Ten Boom. Corrie Ten Boom spent years in a concentration camp, lost all of her family in that terrible circumstance. But she came out of that, and one of her statements, her quotes that she actually had spoken to her sister before she died: there is no pit so deep that he is not deeper still. And so it's a reminder to us on this Resurrection Sunday that no matter how low and how deep and how sorrowful and what you might be going through today, the Lord is with you. And he's joined himself to you like he did to those two sad and brokenhearted disciples who had given up hope. Jesus drew nigh unto them. The Bible says in Psalm 34, verse 18, that the Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart. Amen. You've experienced that. Many of us have experienced that. We've lost loved ones. We've lost people that are dear to us. hearts are broken. But somehow when you go through the sadness of grief and trouble like that, you sense the help of the Lord. And you can look back on that circumstance and say, God was with me. God brought me through that. The Lord was with me. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart. Hebrews chapter 13, he promised, I will never leave thee. I will never forsake thee. I'm going to be with you. And he joined himself, the resurrected Jesus, in all of his appearances to the disciples and the different appearances, at least a dozen times that he made his appearances to people after his resurrection. He did not forget these brokenhearted disciples, but he came to them where they were. The sad thing is that they didn't recognize that he was the resurrected Jesus. The Bible says their eyes were holden. And sometimes you can go through some trials and through some grief, and you just can't seem to see your way through it. It's overwhelming to you. Your eyes are covered. You can't see the Lord. You can't see any good in the circumstance that you are in. And that was these two disciples. They were despondent. They had given up. They couldn't see clearly. They didn't understand. All they could see, all in their vision, was the vision of their Lord Jesus being crucified and suffering all that he did and dying on the cross. That was their last memory. Oh, they had heard a few reports that maybe he was coming out of the tomb, but something about the sadness and the grief of their circumstance kept them from believing, kept them from really having any confidence that God was going to be able to come forth out of the tomb. So these two despondent travelers, they couldn't see. Their eyes were holden, that they could not see. They had vision problems. They could not understand or comprehend that the same Jesus that died on the cross was now the resurrected Lord, and now he's walking with them, and they don't even recognize him for who he is. But I'm so thankful that in this account, they have an eye-opening experience. Amen. Everybody needs that. When you're going through it, you need an experience with the presence of Jesus that causes your eyes to be open and to see the Lord is with me. He has not forsaken me. The Lord is with us. You see, the Bible says we don't walk by sight. We walk by faith. That's the life that we live. Remember the story in the Old Testament of the king of Assyria had sent his vast armies surrounding Elisha and all of his servants. And one of the servants came forth full of fear and letting Elisha know, we're surrounded. The mountains are full of the armies of the Syrians. And Elisha prayed a prayer for that servant and said, Lord, open his eyes, open his eyes. Let him see not just the physical enemy, but let him see also that the hills are full of the armies of the Lord. And open his eyes so that he can see in the realm of the Spirit of God. He needed a revelation. And that servant had a revelation that day as God opened his eyes. Do you understand what I'm saying this morning? That a resurrected Jesus can come alongside you and open your eyes and help you to see that in the midst of your trial and your lowest circumstance, lowest point that you might be in, Jesus wants to reveal himself to you in the midst of all that you're going through. And I think it's pretty obvious that the way that he revealed himself to them was through the word of the Lord, the power of God's word, the power of the scriptures, beginning at Moses and all the prophets. He expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. I can't tell you how important it is to look to God and especially to look to the word of God. There's nothing like the comfort of the scriptures, amen, to help you in your difficult times, when you feel alone, when you feel like you need help, when you feel like you just need someone to come to your rescue. the comfort of the word of the Lord. And that's what happened that day. He expounded to them the scriptures. He went back into the Old Testament. There are more than 300 prophecies concerning Jesus the Messiah. Dozens of prophecies related to the resurrection of Jesus. And I'm quite sure that on that road to Emmaus, that road of sadness and grief and disappointment, he starts going through those various scriptures in the Old Testament, from the book of Genesis, from the Psalms, from Isaiah, and goes through relating to them all the scriptures related to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Praise God. The Bible says their eyes were opened. Their eyes were opened because of the word of the Lord. Jesus then traveled with them all the way to Emmaus and went as if he was going to go on, but they called him to come in and to fellowship with them. They did. And in the breaking of bread, while they're communing together, while they're fellowshipping together, their eyes are opened and they recognize who he is. This is Jesus. This is the resurrected Lord that has come and has visited us and has come alongside of us. Praise the Lord. They said, did not our hearts burn within us? Now that's the power of the word of God. The word of God has the power to set your heart on fire. It has the power to set your life on fire. As a matter of fact, these disciples, now at this time, it's late at night. They have traveled the 7 miles to Emmaus. But now their heart is set on fire because they've had a visit from the resurrected Jesus. And they say, they turn and they say, we're going to go back. Now I'm telling you, the journey to Emmaus was a sad, slow, probably meandering journey to Emmaus. But now there's a whole new spring in their step. There's a whole new joy, a whole new enthusiasm, because now they've met the Lord. And they're even willing to travel at night and to go back to Jerusalem and to meet with the other of the 11 disciples and to meet with them and let them know, Jesus came and visited us. Jesus came and met with us and he expounded the word of the Lord to us. Praise the Lord and set our hearts on fire. Jeremiah said, I'll not make mention of him nor speak any more in his name, but his word was in mine heart as a burning fire, shut up in my bones. And I was weary with forbearing and I could not stay. What was Jeremiah saying? The word of the Lord in my heart was like a fire. I couldn't contain it. I couldn't stop it. It was a force. It was a power in my life. And so those sad and dejected disciples that traveled to Emmaus are now traveling back to Jerusalem at night. No longer defeated, but now it's a new road. It's not just a road to Emmaus. It's a road of victory. It's a road of illumination. It's a road of revelation of Jesus Christ and who he is. Praise the Lord. The psalmist, Psalm 39, verse 3 says, my heart was hot within me while I was musing. The fire burned. The psalmist was describing his experience of the law of the Lord touching his heart and igniting a fire within his heart. You see, fire is force. Fire is energy. And it was on the day of Pentecost that tongues of fire set upon every one of those disciples that were waiting in the upper room. They walked out of that experience with a new energy, with a new force, with a new power in their life. It was the fire of God that was in their life. It set a whole new direction. These disciples went back to Jerusalem, and now it's a road of victory. It's a road of hope. Praise God. Amen. That's what resurrection is for us here today. And especially if there are those of you here today that you're going through a deep, dark, trying situation, you feel like, you know, you're overwhelmed with the circumstances that you're in right now. Oh, I want you to know that Jesus, the resurrected Lord, can come right along beside you and he can comfort you, and he can speak to you through the promises of God and through the word of God, and ignite a fire within your heart right in the middle of your trying circumstance. The Lord can do that. This same fire caused these same disciples to preach the resurrection. Now think about it. In the city of Jerusalem, this is the city where Jesus was crucified and where he was placed in a tomb. If you're going to make up a story about a resurrection, you're not going to do it in the very place that it happened. You're not going to do it in a place where they can go right to the tomb just in a short walk and see that he's still in the tomb. You're not going to do it there, but you're going to preach the resurrection in Jerusalem if you know it's a reality. And you know it's the fact that he's shown himself alive to hundreds of other witnesses. And by many infallible proofs, he has shown himself alive. And so they were willing to preach the resurrection. These same disciples, in spite of the opposition, in spite of the persecution, they had a passion, they had a zeal, they had a fire, they had a boldness. And they went about preaching the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You can't read the book of Acts without reading about the resurrection. You can't read the book of Romans without almost every chapter. It's the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Because that was the central message of these disciples who had an encounter with the resurrected Lord. Praise God. Amen. A boldness, a zeal, a passion to preach the truth of the resurrection. I really believe that the message today is that I know that there are many people who are going through sad times, tough times, challenging times. But the Lord knows right where you are, and he will join himself to you. The resurrected Lord will come to where you are, and he will help you, and he will speak to you his word of comfort. His word of assurance. And that word of the Lord can change your life as it did those two disciples from Emmaus, Cleopas and whoever the other one was, likely Luke. It changed them, transformed them, gave them a whole new spring in their step, a whole new zeal and a boldness to go and to preach Jesus resurrected from the dead. Praise God for the hope that we have today. And our resurrected Lord, could we just take a moment just to give praise all over this building and thank the Lord? Would you do that with me today? Thank you, Lord. Oh, God, we are just so grateful, Lord, for the wonderful hope that we have in you. Lord, we believe your word and we believe in a resurrected Jesus. And we know, Lord, that because you're living today, we can face anything. We can face the future with confidence. Because we know, Lord, that you did come out of the grave, the first fruits of the resurrection. And we can follow, Lord. If we go by way of the grave, we know that's not the end. We know that there is a soon resurrection for everyone that dies in the faith. And we thank you, Lord, for that wonderful hope today. Praise the Lord. Could we stand together here all over this building? Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Amen. So I'm just speaking very pointedly today to any of you in this service that you can identify with these two disciples on the road to Emmaus. You can identify with them because you're walking a tough road today, a sad road. Maybe you're overwhelmed. Maybe you're despondent in your life circumstance. I don't know what you're dealing with, but Jesus knows. Jesus knows, and he'll come alongside you today. He'll walk with you. He'll comfort you. He'll help you. The resurrected Jesus will come and minister to you today. If you'll allow him to, praise the Lord. You may be like those two disciples. Your troubles, your problems have blinded you You can't see any way out. You can't see any hope. But Jesus is there, and he's able to open your eyes. He's able to reveal himself to you today. Change your life, put you on a whole new course. Give your life purpose. Praise the name of the Lord. That's what this Easter is all about. The transformation, the change, the new direction that comes because of our resurrected Savior. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Amen. I just want to take a moment, ask you just to bow your heads with me for just a moment. And this is between you and the Lord. But you just need help from the Lord today. You need the Lord Jesus, the resurrected Savior, to come and help you. Be with you like he joined unto these sad disciples. So will he come and help you today. And if you need help from the Lord or you need prayer today, we want to pray with you and pray for you. But if you would, just hold your hand up for just a moment. If you're in need today, you have any kind of a need, you're overwhelmed in your situation, your life, you need help from the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. We're going to pray now for everybody that's come into this service today. The Lord knows your need. If it's a spiritual need, if you need to turn your heart, your life over to the Lord, this is the day to do that. What an opportunity that you have to surrender your life to Jesus, and you can do that. You can do that right now, even at your seat, as we pray together. You can call upon the Lord. You can ask the Lord, Lord, come and help me. I can't help myself. My eyes are blinded by so many problems and needs in my life. Ask the Lord for help, and he'll come to you. He'll rescue you. He'll reveal himself to you here today. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So I just want to ask everybody in this service today, would you pray? Let's pray together right now. Father, you know the hearts. You know the needs. You know everybody that's in this service today. And I know, Lord, that there are some that are in some very difficult times. And I ask you, Lord, to show yourself strong in their behalf. Come alongside them and help them. Comfort them, strengthen them, heal them, move in their needs today. Lord, their eyes are overwhelmed by the needs and the problems that they have. They can't see their way clearly. But you, O Lord, can move. You, O Lord, can reveal yourself to them on this Resurrection Sunday. And we ask you to do it, Lord. And I pray, Lord, for those that don't know you in a personal way, that are not serving you, that they would call upon the name of Jesus right now in this service, and that they will call upon you, Lord, and just turn their life over to you, surrender to you. Lord, we know that if we come to you in faith, come to you confessing our sins, admitting our need for a Savior, the Bible promises you're not going to turn away from us. You will in no wise cast us out. You will provide help and forgiveness today. We're asking you, Lord, to minister to everybody in this place today in the mighty name of Jesus. Glory to God. We believe, Lord, that you can reveal yourself in this service by your word and by your Holy Spirit. And we're believing you to do it in the mighty name of Jesus. Praise the Lord. Amen. One more time, could we just give thanks and praise to the Lord all over this house. Glory to God. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your mighty touch, for your help. Glory be to Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Amen. God bless you for being here today. We welcome you to be here in the service tonight. For those of you children, all the children's activities will be over here to my left, to your right, through these double doors over into the gym area. God bless you today. We'll see you tonight.